all spread your wings, close your eyes, let your love flow, come inside, spread your wings, and close your eyes, let your love flow.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Aru! Greetings, and many greetings from the dog poet in the saucer pod, looking down upon the late great American state and all the dominoes trembling on Gaia's front porch. It's out with the old and in with the new, except for the moment-to-moment, same old, getting worse, but not quite falling down into its own footprint, as if it were a Zio-bombed commercial tower owned by Zionists who didn't want to do asbestos extraction. Who are the bad guys and who are the good guys? Seems to be a lot of confusion about that, and that depends on whether you're a good guy or a bad guy, and whether good and evil can be defined. Let me try. Good comes out of operating without self-interest to the benefit of others, and that includes enlightened self-interest. Bad comes out of operating according to self-interest to the expense of others. The point of self-interest is self-interest, looking out for yourself. It's not a bad thing unto itself, because even the cosmos wouldn't be here otherwise. So the world goes, Game of Thrones, Deadwood, Lord of the Rings. It is a scheme or a quest, and you want to be at your best. I apologize for being a ramble mania guy last week, if there was one. But the consistency of the train is what it is. I've heard and seen all sorts of drama queen Armageddon's coming and goings, but I don't remember many of them, and those things don't spoil the cream. Since I'm personally coming up on something, I prefer to throw the pie into my own face rather than have someone else do it for me. You know that when white light hits a prism, it comes out in colors, and we can call those colors rays. Don't call me Ray. It's my belief that we're on a particular ray and certain things apply to each ray. Rays interact, just like human colors and creeds, and they also interface, which is how you get all the variations that you get. So it's a simple system, cosmic, timeless, and who knows what else is out there. You don't know unless you look, so some amount of courage is required to go beyond if you want to discover or find what may be important to you or what's driving you. Is the dog chasing his tail? Is the serpent swallowing its tail? Is there a relationship between the Sirius cluster and life on Earth? Well, everything affects everything, and proximity and power certainly factor in. Like I said, we're on rays. Some of us are atheists, and some of us are scientists, believers, and skeptics, and we're humming on the Armageddon train, and I'm a-getting on. Oh, yeah. People of various minds concerning the drowning of the SEAL team chopper these past days. Some believe it was just some kind of cosmic irony. I, on the other hand, look for deeper reasons, because as time has gone by, the same poisonous creatures appear from under every rock I turn over. I don't know what to think. I don't assume, but I do suspect. Come tomorrow, we're going to see some outrageous things go into motion. The financial system has had its day, and not all the king's horses or all the king's men can put this broken egghead back together again. The best case scenario is a dung omelet, and someone makes the people responsible eat it. I can think of certain seasonings that might improve the palatability, but then again, it might go in reverse. There's just no way of telling what's going to emerge from the convergence of so many forces, all dependent on a melting illusion. Among these people, survival is the preeminent drive, and that means wider war as a means of continuance and as a means of distraction away from the definite focus upon their wrongdoing. It won't work, but what means the universe will take to bring this about is unknown. You can think of the conscious instrument of the cosmos as a sort of V, or Scarlet Pimpernel, who appears here and there like a jack-in-the-box and then suddenly disappears, only to appear again somewhere else. When I was speaking with my spiritual master, who is in reality the Big Kahuna, he told me he was going to be ingenious in the ways he went about instituting payback. He said he was going to show up right in the middle of them and catch them in the act. He was going to pull her pants down in front of the world, and of course they were all going to turn on each other, because this is what they do, and the time-honored way in which evil destroys itself, which it always does. But this is not the ordinary slow descent of evil on any other given day, in one particular theater or another. This is evil being confronted and manipulated across the board and forced to act against itself and all of its loose associates. We're dealing with epic scale, and we're dealing with fallout at every level and impacting on every life. This force of the apocalypse is both internal and external, and that is why there is nowhere to run and nowhere to hide, because no matter where you go, you are carrying it with you. It will find you inside and outside, and whatever effort you make to move about outside will be under its direction as well, because it is in charge, and there is no lobby for mercy or mitigation, only contrition and surrender. Excuse me. Only contrition and surrender will do, and evil is seldom contrite, especially when it can no longer be separated from the practitioner when they have become one. Yes, there's free will, and it is generally misunderstood. What you have of free will is the right to oppose the cosmos or work on behalf of it under the direction of it. There is no other free will, and many who hear of it explained in this manner consider it an imposition or a bad deal. That is because they have separated themselves in consciousness from the cosmos and do not see that they are an expression of the cosmos, and what the cosmos wants is exactly what is best for them. Appetite and desire obscure this reality and also sentence us to death. These things sentence us to death over and over, and it is only through the surrender and sublimation of these things that we may approach the sacred and secretive halls of immortality, where we no longer have any death to die. I realize I have no great forum, no medium of wider reach, because my main focus is the truth, sans any personal profit I can gain outside of the possession of it. It is up to the listener to determine if I possess any truth, and I will leave that in the hands of the cosmos, as I try to do with everything else. I don't actually know what I do or do not possess. I simply continue under the guide of my intuition, which so far has never deserted me. I believe we all come to know within ourselves the value of what we have acquired and accomplished. Our judgment is within, and so is our redemption. The world outside is always the world, and if we are putting our faith in that, then we're lost. And that brings me to a very big point. What will attend all these great external changes is tremendous fear, because there is no possibility of having faith in that which is outside us, and too many of us have invested too much faith in it. Our only salvation and succor comes from within. We have to go within, where all of the emergent strength is, and contact that which is behind all of these changes and is the only source of strength equal to them. This is a big deal. We must go within, and if this isn't something that you have given some time and thought to, you're looking at a rough highway that leads nowhere but into the fury of the storm. Love is the motive power of the universe, and to align yourself with it is to have the greatest of companions and protections that could be had. We should not be discouraged in this time. We should be filled with expectancy for the arrival of the long-awaited hopes of humanity, manifest in the arrival of a new age. It will not be denied, and it cannot be delayed or put aside, and it is coming with something for everyone, dependent on their industry and investment in the old and departing ignorance and self-interest and the new arriving age of brotherhood. I realize these are just words. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Those words are from the Gospel of St. John, and perhaps those are just words also. The listener has to be the judge. Sometimes words are just words, and sometimes they're sustenance. We have to pick and choose what words we take to guide us. If they are just words, then they aren't going to take us anywhere because they won't sustain us. If they are not just words, they will carry us through the darkness. There will be a light, and the darkness will not overcome it. What it all comes down to is what we have placed our faith in, because that is going to determine our fate, because that is what we are going to have to rely on, and that's either real or it isn't, just like the words. The thing with the world is that everyone seems to have its hooks into them, and the peer pressure is fierce, because otherwise you're the odd man out and take on the appearance of an enemy to conformity, which I will gladly admit that I am. So what we have is a world of people relying on nothing but words, and if you're banking on sustenance, then you are going against the grain of those who have bought into all the words. God is either real or God is not. That is the reality or lack of it that everyone has to come to terms with. If God is real, then reliance on God is the most sensible thing one can do. If God is not real, then everything is just words, and nothing means anything, and we're all screwed. I tend to reject the second opinion, which leaves me with no alternative but the first. And that begs the question, is God real or not? It appears that many of us who agree that God is real go around behaving as if God were not. It becomes one of those maybe situations which has no protection or sustenance in it. Are you following me? We give lip service. We give words without power to and about something that is the source of all power, and what that means is that we have no real and operative connection to it, except where fate and karma come in, which are all about bringing us to the point where we have the visceral acceptance and understanding that God is real. Our lives are what we make of them, based on the degree to which we believe in an eternal motive force whose whole purpose of operation is to bring us closer to it. Outside of this, there is only our personalized expressions of us playing God, and which we are not equipped for because we lack all the tools which can only come from God and which are functional when we step aside and allow God to utilize those tools through us. Throat's a little croaky this evening. I realize that this may sound too simple for some and too logical for others, but it's what I believe, and it's of secondary importance to me whether anyone else does this or not. What's important is if I do it, not spend my time arguing with anyone else who believes in the power of words without the power and in compromises with the world whose intention is to eat them alive. That also seems obvious to me on the surface. So what's it going to be? Well, that's a personal decision we all make. And my hope is that you make the right one and you give it all due consideration soon, because sooner or later is here, as Monday should show. But it could be Tuesday. This week should show us what all those words and lies and bad behavior have brought us to, and the outworking of what evil people do when they're up against it as a result of their own actions. Evil people who have managed to gain control of the world in which we live because of this Kali Yuga where darkness is preeminent, well, they have a systematic way that they go about things. The ultimate goal, or that they're unaware of, but the ultimate result is that they destroy themselves. But in between that time, they destroy a great many other things as well. They have a particular agenda that is not open to common sense, reason, parity, brotherhood, or any of the rest of those things. It's me first, you later, maybe. And that's how they operate. And it's important to keep this in mind when you think that you want to give your fealty to institutions of any type, be they religious or temporal, it doesn't really matter. They're all part of the same business. And that business is deception, and that deception exist for the purpose of their profit and your loss. And your loss is not just temporal, but your loss is spiritual as well, because these things are faith killers. And that is why your faith should be placed within and not without, because placing your faith without is going to destroy your faith, because this is a world of appearances, and appearances are lies, especially in this day and age. But fear not. Great, this is a great opportunity for advancement if you can just see it. Give it everything you have, because now is the appointed time. Well, we've come to the end of another show, and hopefully this sits better with you than the last one, which was most likely an unnecessary experiment of mine, but which plays directly into the consideration of words that are only words and words that are sustenance. I'll see you next week, if there is one, and I hope and I pray that all of you find the wiser course and a stronger sense of the presence of the abiding light and life within. That said, Hare Krishna, aloha, and aru!
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the ONSIC Radio Network of Stations.